The patient can't seem to remember her name, Brenda says. Kim, Chloe, Courtney, Chris, Caitlin, Kanye, Kendall, Kylie, and all the assorted babies. I know all of their names, but who the hell am I? The neurologist interrupts Kim, who's talking about permanent lip liner with zero expression on her face.
How are you doing?
Why can't I tune Kim out? It's like my brain is hardwired to focus on her. Because she's pretty? Because her problems are dumber and therefore less stressful than mine? Because of her butt? I seem to be having trouble focusing, I say to Dr. Patel. I don't know if that's normal for me. Patel finally looks up from my chart.
Time will tell. Before I explain your test results, do you mind if I do a physical examination of your head?
I might not have all of my memories, but I have a feeling I've been asked that before.
As for the physical trauma, he says, MRI and CT are negative for signs of intracranial bleeding. The swelling in your brain must be going down, which is why you woke up. The headache probably won't go away for at least a week.
How about my memory?
Your memory?
He stops for a second to look at an incoming text on his phone. Or is he just reciting this off of WebMD?
You have what's known as traumatic amnesia, which means your memories will likely come back to you as your injuries heal. But there's no telling when, and you might struggle for quite some time.
The lightheaded feeling hits again, and my peripheral vision starts to blur, but I lean back and shut my eyes. No passing out.
For now, I think you should try to reconstruct your life as best as you can. If you can get back into some old routines, you will increase your chances of remembering. Once you get home, surround yourself with familiar faces. Go back to work. You might begin to remember things.
Home. Routines. Wasn't he listening? I don't even know my own name or who cuts my hair.
Girl, you gotta cheer up, my nurse Brenda says.
Tell me it's a cure. Or an invitation to live on her couch, I'll take either.
Definitely better than anything the doctors are gonna do for you. She looks up, waiting for my full attention. Go on. Well, I still suspect you're a vegetarian, so you've got that to deal with. How do you know?
With a shake of her head and a, if you have to ask, you'll never understand look, she says,
I charged your phone. The intake nurse thought it was broken, but I gave it a little checkup. It's cracked, but it works.
She holds it out to me. An iPhone, cracked to hell and splintered. I won't be able to click on anything in the upper third of the screen, but only my banking and weather apps are up there. The important stuff is all at the bottom, within thumb's reach. My desktop background is a picture of myself. I've got good hair in it, at least. Gwen Stefani blonde, all sirens of the silver screen glamour on one side, and a buzz cut on the other. But salon quality. It doesn't have that I buzzed it myself in a dimly lit bathroom vibe. I don't think. I hold out the phone to Brenda. Does this hairstyle seem like a weird choice to you, or is it just me? Brenda lets out a startled laugh.
Little weird. Can't say I'm surprised.
Whatever, Brenda, you love me. She raises an eyebrow.
And you love quinoa.
Take me out to lunch and we'll find out. I look at the screen. It's a lifeline to all of my friends and family. Everything that matters. I mean, it's one thing to lose your memory, but another thing altogether to lose your phone. Email, texts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Does it even matter that my memories aren't in my brain? Everything that counts is on my phone. Hard data and digital evidence, including my name. Chapter 2. As soon as the facial recognition software locks on my features, my phone's screen unlocks. Someone finally fucking remembers me.